case is taken under advisement. We move to case number 5, which is Wilson versus Barnett.
Please, the court.
Sure.
Thank you, Your Honor. My name is John Sheik. I'm an attorney from Rhinelander, Wisconsin. I'm here representing Renee Wilson, and this is on a Social Security disability claim. I believe that the brief indicates what the major issue is, at least in our perspective. There is a five-step procedure relative to finding disability, and I believe we're down to the last step, which asks whether or not there is other work that is available for Renee Wilson. There are some functional capacity reports on record, which essentially indicate what she is able to do or not able to do with her physical problems. I don't think there's any question that she's got a severe injury. She had a Harrington rod put in her back in 1982, which is a steel rod 12 to 18 inches put in her back. She originally filed for disability in May of 1997, and there were a couple of hearings in this matter along with an action by the district court, of course, and this subsequent appeal. When I go through the entire record, there's what I think unusual, and quite frankly, I was surprised that I was asked to do oral arguments on this particular case because a lot of this is pretty straightforward. My major complaint with the rulings against us has been a functional capacity report done by a Dr. Durrett.
And hasn't the problem been here that there were inconsistent reports by Dr. Durrett and no real explanation for those inconsistencies that was presented to the ALJ?
Yes. There was one done in August of 97. There was another one done on May 8th of 98, and another one done May 20th of 98. And the first hearing was the following day. And the May 20th functional capacity report indicated that it had corrected the one from just a few weeks before that. And my feeling is that the administrative law judges felt that there was some skullduggery going on, quite frankly. And they have done everything, and the records indicate that they've tried to shoehorn everything into his May 8th report as opposed to his May 20th report, which indicates that it corrected the prior report.
Well, the May 20th report, though, didn't provide an explanation for the correction. Wasn't that the heart of the problem?
I think it was. But by the same token, at this stage of the proceedings, when we're looking at whether or not there is any other work available for her, it then becomes the administration's burden of proof at that point to prove that she that there is other available work for her. And you're correct that that inconsistency was the heart of the problem, but the appeals counsel in their first decision indicated that the doctor rejected the earlier report in May, the May 8th report. And I relied on that. I relied on the fact at the second hearing that that was considered a rejected report. And the administrative law judge in the second proceeding, Judge Schneider, relied on that. And I felt that was unfair, and I felt it was wrong, and I felt that the administration did not carry the burden of proof showing that she was able to work. The best that they came up with, even relying on that report, is that in the state of Wisconsin, there was only 4,000 jobs available to her out of 2.7 million, which I don't think is offering a person much of an opportunity to become employed. This lady
is. But at that second hearing, again, there was no explanation provided.
That's correct.
And at that time, you knew that was the
well, if the criticism is against me, that could be true. But I, when I went to the second hearing, I felt that that was not an issue because the court, the appeals counsel had indicated that that was rejected, and I relied on that. And I felt then, as I do now, that that was improper to rely on that coming up to the ultimate decision that she was not disabled and that there was work available for her. And I just don't think that's true. And she's not worked since 1997, and of course she can't refile again because she won't be qualified. So this is her last kick at the cat, so to speak. And I believe the evidence and the medical evidence strongly supports that she is disabled. The analysis, there's no question that there's a severe impairment. And even looking at the administration's strongest position, they've got 4,000 jobs out of 2.7 million and call that adequate opportunity to be employed. And she's, as I say, she's got a Harrington rod in her back and some other significant problems. And I just don't think it was fair for the administrative law judges to put any credence in the corrected report, the one that corrected the report, the May 8th report of Dr. Durrett. And I think that was the error and the problem. And if there was a real problem there, it probably was because of my misanalysis. And if that's true, I don't think my client should suffer for that.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Gurin?
May it please the court, James Guerin for the commissioner. I'd like to straighten something out. First of all, the burden of proof in this case is at step four with the determination of Ms. Wilson's residual functional capacity. That's really the issue. The burden had not shifted to the commissioner. Be that as it may, the real issue before the court is whether the evidence in this case compelled the ALJ to find that Ms. Wilson could work only 6 hours a day. If you look at Dr. Durrett's reports, which Ms. Wilson relies on, the ALJ essentially adopted all of the other limitations. The ALJ did not accept that she was limited to 6 hours a day. The agency in this case asked the doctor to explain. They didn't understand. The state agency asked for an explanation for why this was a limitation to 6 hours, and Dr. Durrett responded that it was based on Ms. Wilson's failed work attempt that she told him about. This is not a proper basis for finding an RFC. In fact, Dr. Durrett never offered any other reason in support of his limitation to 6 hours, and we suggest that the ALJ was justified and reasonable in finding that that limitation was not based on the evidence of the record. With respect to Ms. Wilson's argument regarding whether this is a significant number of jobs that the ALJ found, this court has repeatedly found that far fewer than 4,000 jobs is significant. I'd also like to just briefly address her argument, which I think we adequately covered in our brief, that that the ALJ didn't make any findings with respect to whether these jobs would be available or whether she would be hired. That's clearly not only contrary to this court's holdings, but also to the statute. We ask the court to affirm the commissioner's decision, and if there are no questions.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. In our brief, we point out there's a question asked of the vocational expert if there's anything in the medical records that indicates that she could work more than 6 hours a day, and he indicates that all of his review of the records would be 6 versus 8 hours. That's set out specifically in the brief that I submitted to the court. And if we're at 6 hours, there's no question that she meets the disability. The only way that they get the 4,000 jobs of the 2.7 million are by virtue of the 8-hour workday. And the only place that's found is in the report that was corrected, and that's why I have such great difficulty in finding and figuring out why she wasn't considered disabled in the first instance. And I think the court has the ability to do this based upon the present record. But I would pray to the court that you at least remand this for another hearing, because I don't believe that justice would be served if she is not given an opportunity to explain any problems that the department has with this. She's disabled, and she is one of those ladies that's going to fall in the cracks if she's not found to be disabled, because the law in the state of Wisconsin is kind of tough now for people that just don't have assets, and right now she's relying on her friends and family to support her because she has no income. And I would respectfully ask for at least a remand, if not a finding of disability. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you to both counsel.